Of Isaiah chapter number 55, and I'm also trying to just follow the leadership of the Lord this morning, and I've really been between two messages. I've actually got three messages. I've got a funeral this afternoon, Brother David's Brother Don. I've been trying to think about that. I've been trying to think about what the Lord would have me to preach this morning, and then what the Lord would have me to preach tonight as well. And Lord willing, tonight we'll finish up the series I've been preaching on the subject of the drawing of God. But this morning, I want to try to preach out of Isaiah chapter number 55. And you pray for me. My voice is sort of raw and from preaching all week, and then mowed a little bit yesterday, and that didn't help anything. Didn't really mow any grass, just mulched some leaves, and that stuff really works on me. I don't know what it is. I guess the dust in it and everything. But Isaiah chapter number 55, and let's read verse 6 and verse number 7, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. The Bible said, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Let's pray. Lord, I am thankful to be here today, and I really need your help physically, spiritually, mentally. Lord, it's been a lot on our mind this week as we went every night and tried to preach what you laid on our heart, and we had good liberty, and we thank you for that. And I pray, Lord, you'd take the messages and use it in the church as you'd see fit. But Lord, I pray that you'd help me just a few minutes this morning and give good liberty one more time, and touch my mind and touch my voice, Lord, that I might be able to preach, Lord, the message that you've given me for right now. Lord, I pray for good liberty. I pray you'd bind the devil that he'd not be able to hinder in any way whatsoever. And I pray that you'd use the message and speak to hearts and save souls. Lord, you're the only one that can do that. Lord, I am thankful that you touched Brother Melvin, Lord, and he didn't have to go to the hospital, but Lord, not only didn't have to go to the hospital, but was able to come to church today, and not just come to church today, but to be able to stand up and testify, and then to be able to sing. And so I praise you for that. And dear God, as we come this morning, I ask that your will would be done. And Lord, as it goes on down in this chapter and says, your word will not return void, but it'll accomplish that which you send it forth to do. And so have your way now. I ask these things in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, you pray for us this morning. And if you do look on down in this chapter, and I referenced this many times this past week as we were preaching in revival, where the Bible says in verse number 11, the Lord said, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." So God's word, if it goes out in spirit and in truth, it'll get the job done. It will do the work that the Lord wants it to do. And what I want to preach on this morning, or what I want to look at this morning, is actually in the first part of verse number 6, where the Bible says simply this: seek ye the Lord. Now, I've been preaching for several weeks on the subject of the drawing of God. And the Bible says over in John chapter 6 and verse number 44, and I'm going to turn over there and read it because I don't want to misquote it. But I've been preaching out of this. You'd think I'd have had it memorized by now, and I do until I start. Does anybody else have that trouble? Where Jesus said in John 6:44, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And we preached and preached and preached on the drawing of God. The drawing of God just simply means this, that what that verse means is nobody comes to the Lord. Nobody gets saved except the Father draw him. When Jonah, after he was went through his great trial there, and he was, as the Bible says, vomited out by the well upon the land, and then, you know, he goes to Nineveh. But the first message that Jonah preached, he came out of that well and he said, salvation is of the Lord. Nobody gets saved except that God deals with their heart. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And so we recognize that teaching in the Bible. But on the human side of that, what does the Bible say? Seek ye the Lord. There's a responsibility on the human side that we seek the Lord. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And let me point out just some simple things this morning about the subject of seeking the Lord. First of all, today, there is the object. He said, seek ye the Lord. What is the object we're to be seeking after? It's the Lord. Now, in this life, a lot of times, a lot of people, they're seeking after all kinds of things. Their goal in life, their main desire in life is centered on something. I mean, most people have a goal. Most people have something in life that they want, that they are striving after, that they would like to have, that they would like to accomplish. But the Bible says the great object, it's the Lord. Jesus said this over in the Gospels. He said, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What if you gained everything? What if you had all the riches, you had all the money, you had all the power, you had all the fame, and you find out you're going to die in 6 months? What good is that? What if you so many people have experienced this thing. When I was in the Air Force, and if you go in the military, you can retire in 20 years. You'd be amazed how many people die early right after they've retired. If I went in at 18 and I did, I could have retired at 38. I could have already been retired now 10 years. But I remember them telling us, even then, they said, if you stay in the military and you retire, you need to do something else. You just don't need to sit down and not do anything, because there's a high mortality rate for people that retire. Boy, you think that's my goal. That's my goal. There's been a lot of people get right up to retirement, die before they retire, die right after they retire. The great object of life is not to retire. The great object of life is the Lord. And if you go through this life and you miss the Lord, you've missed it all. If you go through this life and you gain it all and miss the Lord, you've missed it all. Because I'll tell you what, and we've said this, I guess it's what you call a cliche, but you won't see the hearse with a U-Haul behind it. The grave is just big enough for the body. Job said, naked came I into this world, and that's how you're going to leave this world. We come into this world with nothing. We're going to leave with nothing. If we miss the Lord, we've missed it all. And so the Bible says, seek ye the Lord. Paul said this, and this was in our Sunday school lesson, the very first lesson we had. It was out of Philippians chapter number 1 and verse number 21. And Paul said, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And the writer in the Sunday school lesson, he said, how would you fill in the blank? Do you remember that, some of you? I thought about that. That spoke to my heart. What if it said, for me to live is blank? How would you fill in the blank? To die is blank. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. For me to die is gain. But a lot of people in this world, for me to live, I've got to have money, I've got to have this, I've got to have that. And if I die, I'd lose it all. If that be your testimony this morning, you are seeking after the wrong object in this life. The only thing that will fill that void is the Lord. When we're talking about the Lord, we're talking about a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the great object. Now, there's the object number one. I got to go back and find my place again. There's number one, there's the object, it's the Lord. Number two, there's the operation. He said this, seek ye the Lord. Now, a lot of people, they leave this thing about the Lord. They leave this subject of salvation. The Bible doesn't say just wait around and maybe by chance the Lord will speak to your heart. Maybe it doesn't say glance around. Well, if it comes my way, fine. If it doesn't, fine. The Bible doesn't say eventually. You might want to seek the Lord. It says seek. When you seek for something, that is searching. We don't see a whole lot of people saved, do we? We don't. How long's it been in church since in church we had somebody come and get saved? It's been a long time. I preached over at Mountaindale this week. We was talking over there. It's been a long time. There used to be more people getting saved in America than there is today. But you know what? There used to be more people seeking. See, we are concerned about everything else under the sun, but we're not too concerned about whether or not we ever get saved or not. We ought to be seeking. When you're seeking for something, you're searching for something. A lot of people are just coming and going, but they're not really thinking much about it. But you and I, especially if you're here today and you're lost, you ought to be seeking the Lord. You ought to be looking for the Lord to come and to speak to your heart and save you. There's a little boy come to the altar this week. And the preacher asked him, said, has the Lord spoke to your heart? And that little boy said, no, but I want him to. You know what that is? That's seeking. If I was here today and I was lost and I knew that I was lost, you know what I think you ought to do? I think you ought to seek the Lord. I think you ought to be searching for the Lord. I think you ought to be listening for the Lord. Every time you come through the church, today might be the day the Lord speaks to my heart and saves me. Somebody gave a testimony this week. And they said God had been, they was talking about when they was young and they got saved and they said they come to church and they got under conviction and they knew that God was speaking to their heart and they had told their mama, they said, tonight I'm getting saved. They went looking. When you come to church, are you looking for anything? The Bible says seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. It's like when you seek for something, you're really looking hard for it. You know them little black things when you pump up your tires? Why aren't those orange? Why don't we, you know, some of us ought to start a business on the side. Them things ought to be bright orange. I mean, where do you park a car but on the pavement It's all black. Well, I was messing, pumping up some tires yesterday, and them things, they just get lost. And I dropped one, and I'm standing there. I heard it. I knew it didn't go far, but I couldn't see it. You know what? I had to seek for it. I knew it was there. And I kept looking, and I kept looking, and after a while, my eyes come into focus, and there it was, right next to my foot. And then another thing, I took one off, and I moved from where I was, and I noticed I hadn't put it back on, bicycle, tire, something like that. I went back where it was. I said, I know it's got to be right here. I took it off. See, a lot of people, they're not seeking. They're not looking. The Bible said the operation, what is our responsibility? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Look on what it says. It says, call ye upon him while he is near. Do you know what calling is? That's praying. That's praying. You ought to pray. If you're lost, you ought to pray every day that the Lord would save you. If you know where you're not where you ought to be, you ought to pray every day. I was talking to, I guess, Kim last night. We was talking about coming to the altar to pray. You know, used to, we'd wear the altar out. I don't mean that in a bad way. But God's people wasn't ashamed to come around the altar and pray and call upon the Lord and ask God to save those that were lost and to ask God to work in the hearts of those that are out here and maybe like a prodigal son and just not where they ought to be. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of room to call on the Lord. It'd still get the job done. It's just praying. Here's what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7. It says, Matthew chapter 7, verses 6 and 7, down through there it says, ask and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Ask, seek, knock, we're to be praying. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. So, what are we supposed to do? The operation which is on our part, we're to seek. We're to call upon the Lord. There's the object. It's the Lord. There's the operation. Seek while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Number three this morning, there's the opportunity. Now we find the opportunity here in verses 6 and 7. And it is by the grace of God that he gives us this opportunity. Look what the Bible says in verse number 6. Seek ye the Lord. Wow. Wow. Do you know what that indicates, that word wow there? It indicates time. When's a good time to get saved? Well, today would be a good day. When's a good time to call upon the Lord? Today would be a good day. You know, people say, well, I don't much feel like it. Well, you got time today. You got time today. You might not be here tomorrow. We don't know, do we? We don't know. Somebody was telling me this past week about a young man, 21 years old, all his life before him. Terrible accident. Cut a tree. Kicked back on him. Killed him. Funeral was yesterday. We don't know. We don't know what tomorrow brings. But here we are today. We have life. We have breath. We have mind. We have thought. We have opportunity. Seek ye the Lord. Wow. He may be found. You may get in the hospital and get out of your mind. You may be sick. Not be able to have your thoughts right. We don't know, but today is a day of opportunity. The Bible says in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, I believe it is, it says today is the day of salvation. That's the time. The word wow indicates time. Then it goes on and it says this. It says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. You know what that indicates? And this is encouragement to call upon the Lord. It says there, while he may be found. That indicates a reality. I'm not talking to you about fairy tales this morning. Some people think that religion is for the weak of mind. It is for people that are not strong in and of themselves and that are the people that are able to handle the things of life, that religion props you up. But I'm not preaching religion. I'm preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. While he may be found, a relationship with God that made the heavens and the earth is a reality. The Lord is just as real to me as my wife. The Lord is just as near to me as my family. It's a real thing. People don't understand that, but if you've ever been saved by the grace of God, you understand that. While he may be found. If you seek the Lord, do you know what? You will find him. That ought to encourage us this morning. If you'll seek the Lord, if you'll desire to have a real relationship with the Lord, guess what? You will find him. I've been preaching out of John chapter number 6. And Jesus said over there, he said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Give him a try. Give him a try. You may be skeptical. Boy, there's been a lot of skeptics down through the ages. And I was reading a book last night, and there was this fella. And he said, I'll prove them wrong. And he said, I'll prove them wrong from the Bible. And he got to reading over there in the Bible. You know what happened? That skeptic turned into a believer. Because he found out the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ are real. And he found out, even though he was studying to disprove all of it, what he found, he couldn't disprove. And he became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and a great Christian that would share his faith with others. Look what I found. I thought it was all wrong, but I found out it's all right. It's a reality. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Then it says, call ye upon him while he is near. That word near indicates a closeness. You know, sometimes we come to church and we're as dry as sawdust. Is God near? Well, he is. He's always there, but you don't always feel his presence. But I'll tell you, sometimes he's near, and you know that he's near. You feel his presence. You sense his presence. Now I come to church this morning, and I told Kim before we left, I said, I don't know what I'm going to preach on. I sat there through Sunday school, and I thought to myself, back and forth, back and forth. I said, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to preach on. Brother Melvin told me, he said, I'd like to say something. I said, maybe he's supposed to preach. You come on. That's why I was eager to sit down. I just hoping you'd stay up there and preach. I didn't have nothing. I mean, I did, but I just didn't know what I was supposed to do. But I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm not going to worry about it. I know you'll let me know. And while Brother Melvin was playing, how great thou art. And he shouted and he said, praise the Lord. I felt the Lord near, near. There's sometimes when the Lord manifests himself as being near unto us. And I'm telling you, when the Lord is near, when the Lord is speaking to hearts, when God's people are testifying, and the Lord Jesus Christ is being magnified and lifted up, he's near. That's a good time to get saved. Well, I remember when I got saved, the Lord was near. He come right where I was. Got up real close, spoke to my heart and saved me by his marvelous grace. There's opportunity. I want to encourage you this morning. Call ye upon the Lord while He's near. He's close. His presence is real. There's an opportunity. When should I get saved, preacher? You better get saved while He's near. We believe that everyone can get saved, but we don't believe you can get saved just any old time you want to. You better get saved when God's speaking to your heart. There's an opportunity. Number four this morning, there's an obligation. Look what the Bible said in verse number 7. He said, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Now, an obligation in the Bible, or the word obligation, it means this, to bind for in a legal or a moral sense. Jesus died upon the cross to save everybody. But there's something that God demands out of us, and it's that we would recognize that we need to be saved because we're sinners. You see, if we were not sinners, we would not need to be saved. But here's what the Bible says, Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. It says over there, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God said there, let the wicked forsake his way. See, a lot of people have never seen themselves at all as being wicked. Oh, preacher, I'm not wicked. I've never killed anybody. I've never committed adultery or done anything like that. You know, I'm not perfect, but I'm not wicked. But you know what Jesus taught about in Matthew chapter number 5? He said, if you hate your brother in your heart, you've committed murder. Is that not what he said? See, under the law, it said, thou shalt not kill. But Jesus come along and he said, if you've hated your brother, you're just as guilty. Jesus said, if you've ever looked on a woman to lust after her in your heart, you've committed adultery already. The Pharisees, they were all concerned with keeping the letter of the law. Taste not, touch not, handle not. Jesus said, if you've ever thought about it, you're just as guilty. Don't tell me you've not thought about, maybe not killing somebody, but you know, you'd rough them up a little bit if you could get your hands on them. You know, you've been out here driving around, somebody's acting a fool. You say, man, have you ever thought when somebody passes you and about runs you off the road, you said, if they wrecked, I wouldn't stop. Have you ever said, where's the cops? If I'd done that, I'd have been pulled over. Why don't they get pulled over? You've done thought about it. Bible said, let the wicked forsake his way, and this word wicked goes into talking about, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 12. I've already quoted Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. The Bible says over there, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then he said, the unrighteous man, his thoughts. The Lord sees our thoughts just like other people see our actions. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 12. The Bible says over there, they're all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. If you was good, you wouldn't need to be saved. But let me tell you, you're not good. You may be a good person, but you're not good enough to go to heaven. You're not good enough to enter into the presence of God who is holy, who has never sinned. You're not that good. And so we got to be saved. And so that is our obligation. What do? We admit, let the wicked forsake his way. I've got to admit that I'm lost, that I'm a sinner, that I've sinned against God. We've got to repent. That's what that word forsake means. Repent means this: I'm going in this direction, I repent, I now am going in this direction. To forsake means I'm going along doing this and involved in this, but if I forsake that, I shake that off, I get that off, and I turn, I go the other way. That's repenting. Admit you're a sinner. Repent of your sins. Acts 17:30, the Bible said over there, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. God, I'm sorry. God, I've sinned. Lord Jesus, won't you save me? That's what the Lord is looking for in our lives. This is a New Testament message out of the Old Testament passage of Scripture. There's our obligation. And then last of all this morning, there's the outpouring. Look in verse number 7. The Bible said, let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly, abundantly pardon. Does God pardon you just a little bit? Does God save you just a little bit? Does God forgive us just a little bit? That wouldn't do any good. The Bible says that he will have mercy upon him. Do you know mercy is one of the... There's a lot of great words in the Bible, and the greatest ones is the one you're studying at the moment, sort of like a book in the Bible. But that word mercy, you know what it means? Mercy means kindness to somebody that doesn't deserve it. That's what mercy is. We don't do anything to merit the mercy of God, but he shows us mercy because of who he is, not because of who we are. And the Bible said he will abundantly pardon. God doesn't put you on probation and see how you're going to do. God, what God does, God justifies us by faith. That word justify in the Bible, in the book of Romans, it talks about being justified by faith. The word justified means this: just as if I'd never sinned. That's how God sees us. Just as if I'd never sinned. Justified is a word that you would find in a court setting. And it is opposed to being guilty. We come guilty before God, justly condemned already. John 3:18. But when God saves us, he pardons us. You know what a pardon is? That doesn't mean you weren't guilty. That just means you're not going to be punished for what you was guilty of. You've been pardoned by the Lord. Now back many years ago, when Andrew Jackson was the president, there's a man on death row, and this man on death row, Andrew Jackson, sent him a pardon. And they came to his cell and they said, we've got the best news you ever heard of. The president has pardoned you. Open up the jail. You're free to go. And that man said, I don't want the pardon. I don't want it. They didn't know what to do. At that time, his court case went all the way to the Supreme Court. The man's name was Wilson. And I guess it was the government against Wilson. You know what the Supreme Court come up with? They said, you can't force a pardon on somebody. It's got to be received. And they put that man to death because he would not receive the pardon. If you die and go to hell, it's not God's fault. He will abundantly pardon. But you know what? You got to receive it. You got to receive the free gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. God draws us. It might be somebody here today, God is drawing you. God is speaking to your heart. You know what you need to do? You need to respond. You need to respond to what God wants to do in your life. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near, for he will have mercy. He will abundantly pardon. I love that. I like that this morning. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and I appreciate your good attention to